You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or KNE World Network, LLC.
Hensha and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Welcome. We are so glad you've joined us today for this very special conversation. My name is Dr. Dawn Karima, and I'm honored to welcome such a special guest today. Would you please introduce yourself to all of our friends who are listening?
Hi, I'm Dr. Denise Walters, Tribal Council Chair for the Nodaway Indian Tribe of Virginia.
We're very honored to have you here. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we have friends who listen in 160 countries and all 50 states of the United States, and I would love if you would introduce your tribe to all of us.
Certainly. Well, first, let me start with the appropriate greeting. Twat Askanaha, Wagajaneri Gane Gire, Disne Wagajaneri Gane Naswet. So peace to all of you. I am really happy to be here, and I'm happy that you all are here. I'm from the Nodaway Indian Tribe of Virginia. We are located in Southampton County, Virginia, but our powwow is in Surrey County, Virginia. We have a long history of our people, and it's been very interesting because they've tried to erase us over the years, but we are still here regardless of all of the attempts to erase us, the land taking over the years, and the Walter Plecker erasing us with paper genocide. Mm-hmm. And yet we're still here and we still continue to keep our history and culture alive. And I feel like in the last few years, we have gone from surviving to thriving and really growing. And as my son often says, regaining our fire.
Tell us what paper genocide means. Some of our friends who aren't from the Southeast tribes might not know.
So there's been a consistent history of trying to erase our existence as a people. And it started way, way back in the 1600s and 1700s. So they would continuously pass laws. For instance, if you were an indigenous person and you were not living on the reservation, you were not allowed to claim your recognition as an indigenous person. So your status moved from a native person to a colored person or a mulatto person as soon as you left the reservation. Of course, once they started disposing of reservations and getting rid of them and you start losing your land, then all of a sudden on paper, the status changes. Also, there was a fellow called Walter Plecker who was instrumental in getting an act passed in Virginia in 1924 called the Racial Integrity Act. Mm-hmm. And again, it was very hard to prove that you were Native American, and if you weren't already living on a reservation somewhere, it was illegal for you to claim your ancestry. And so there's been a continued paper genocide of our people in the Southeast, and Virginia was probably the worst, but I think that same approach has been going on since the very, very early days, because if they can claim that we're really not Indian, then they can dispossess us of the land.
Mm-hmm. I think that's so important because I think many people think of genocide, the pandemics and the wars, the Indian wars, but don't realize that there was a very sinister practice of changing records and changing identities in legal ways as well. I appreciate you sharing that with us. How would you describe the Nodaway tribe now in the modern era?
The Nodaway tribe is a very close family-knit community, even though we are physically dispersed. We have citizens that live all over the country, and the pandemic was an interesting challenge and a blessing for us because, in a way, it brought some of us together who were far apart physically. So before the pandemic, for instance, we were only having artisan classes at the community center. And if you didn't live close by, people really didn't attend that often. And there'd be maybe four or five students who were attending from the tribe and someone from the tribe or someone else from the community teaching. Now we have an online beading circle that meets every week, and people from all over the country call into it. And it gives us an opportunity to have a digital way of doing that old school getting together and working on our traditional crafts, teaching each other, but also sharing stories about family and history and making those connections that we tend to lose because we're so plugged into our current modern, you know, working for corporate America or in whatever other businesses or government jobs that we have that keep us all busy and apart from each other.
Mm-hmm. Well, for our friends who may not know, what is a powwow?
A powwow is a big get-together of Indigenous people that allows us to celebrate our history and our culture and our community. And different tribes will do theirs in different ways and different styles. Some of the modern powwows are more competition powwows, and there's a lot of dancing and drumming and singing, and it's competitive. Ours is a little different. Ours is more of an old school family powwow, and it still has all the dancing and drumming, but there isn't competition. There's more of a just showing off of the different dance styles and the stories that go with it. And we are very passionate about education in our tribe. So a lot of it is educating the community that may not be aware of those traditions and what these things mean and why we do what we do. We also are a Iroquoian speaking tribe. Mm-hmm. And that being said, we do a lot of the social dances as well as the dances that you see that the Western tribes do. So we have a mixture of both, and typically we'll do a lot of the Iroquoian dancing kind of in the middle of the powwow, in the middle of the day.
Beautiful. How wonderful. And what does it mean to do these dances?
These dances are, for in my mind, both a looking back to our past and our history. They are social in bringing our community together. This is really the one time of year that everybody from our tribe comes together. We even have people who have moved overseas who come home for this powwow. So it's an opportunity to do these dances and bring us all together. But we are also becoming more forward-looking. So my son and I, for instance, wrote a new Skanye song this year. And I think that's the first time that we have written a new dance song in the old style, but with, you know, new song, new melody, all of that. And we've been doing that in other arenas as well. My son leads our language restoration committee. And he and I have been starting to put together some songs. So we've been doing, for instance, a ceremonial corn planting song that we developed last year. And it was used in some planting by our vice chair, Beth Roach, at her place. They have a farm there, and they raise seeds for personal use as well as for their business, the Alliance of Native Seed Keepers. And so it's nice that inclusion of the traditional things and new songs.
And please tell us how folks can join you this year.
Absolutely. This powwow is September the 21st and the 22nd. It's in Surrey, Virginia. It's at the Surrey Parks and Rec Center on Highway 10 and Highway 31. The address, if you need to put an address in your GPS, is 205 Enos Farm Drive, Surrey, Virginia. And the gates will be open at 10 a.m. on both days, with grand entry at noon on Saturday and 1 p.m. on Sunday. And if you're looking for information, you need to reach us for some reason, you can call us on a powwow hotline at 757-276-6033.
Can you repeat that one more time?
Absolutely. The Powwow Hotline is 757-276-6033.
And you know, there probably are folks, I know your tribe knows, and other tribes that may join you as friends, but maybe people who are not Indigenous, not Native, never been to a powwow before. Can you give them some wisdom about what to expect, what to bring, what to do, and how to be?
So the first thing in terms of the how to be is opening, learning, hearing, and accepting, because you're going to have an opportunity to learn and see a lot of things. You're going to find that this is a very open and welcoming powwow, and you need to be ready to learn, listen, and receive. When you get to our powwow, you're going to see some things that are common, but some things that are really very different, because ours is also very community focused. So at the gates of our powwow, where you come in, you'll be registering, and we have books for sale of our Nodaway powwow. This is not just your standard normal powwow journal that talks about the etiquette and the people and the talent and the things that are going on there, but we also have this as kind of an annual journal of our tribe. So we'll usually have something in there about the history or what we've been doing. Mm-hmm. And this year, we'll have stories in there about our collaboration with the Library of Virginia and the year-long program that they've had there on the Indigenous perspectives and how we've participated. We'll have an article about the work that my son has been doing with our language and how that is bringing fire back to the people. And we'll have an article in there from our vice chair about her work in developing a new strain of Nodaway corn, as well as the environmental work that she does. Additionally, at the outside of our powwow, we have the Virginia Museum of Fine Art on the road, and it is a big traveling art exhibit that people can enjoy free of charge while they're at the powwow. It's really exciting to have this, and one of the things that's a little unusual is that Chief Lynette Alston is the president of the Board of Trustees at the VMFA, and I happen to also be president of the, or chair of the Board of Trustees for the Science Museum of Virginia, both at the same time. So two Indigenous leaders also being board chairs in the state of Virginia. So we try and bring this into our powwow, mm-hmm. back to that whole thing of community focus. So we have a community section where different organizations are represented and people can interact with those community leaders about how they can get involved in things, how can they participate in things that benefit everyone in the community, not just the Indigenous community. But then we have our history area that talks about our history and our culture and what we're doing now and what our history is in the past. And then, as always, we'll have lots of vendors with things to sell that are handmade Indigenous arts and crafts. And last but certainly not least is all of the drumming and dancing and song that we do to celebrate our culture and our heritage as Indigenous people.
What is your hope for this year's powwow?
My hope for this powwow is that we have really good attendance from a large cross-section of people. I would like to see more dancers from our community come and stay, not just on Saturday, but Saturday and Sunday. Make time to spend the time together, because time together is important. Time to immerse ourselves in our culture is critical, because as I watch, each year we lose more elders. Mm-hmm. And with those elders go our stories, our traditions. And so we need our younger people to engage, and we learn from being in community with each other, from seeing and observing. So my hope is that our tribal citizens and the broader community come, and then the community outside of the Indigenous community comes to see, to learn, to interact, and to build relationships. Because I feel like in these challenging times that we are all walking mm-hmm. through, that our strongest survival will be how do we support each other as human community?
Will you tell us about the style of dance that you do and what it means to your life?
So I do two different styles of dance when I'm at powwows. I do the woodland style, and that is when I'm thinking of my older school buckskin, off-the-shoulder dress with a handmade rattle. My son is, in fact, promising to make me a brand new one, which I can't wait. But it's nice to do that woodland style that I think brings back the old tradition and thinking of our ancestors going back thousands of years pre-contact and what that history is and what that looks like. And in Virginia, there are remains that have been found that go back to 18,000 years, and that reminds us we have always been here. So I like to wear that dress and dance that style to remember that long, long, long history. Typically on Sundays, I wear a cloth Iroquoian-style dress, and that one has the raised beadwork. And again, remembering who we are as Iroquoian-speaking people, and that post-contact dress and that style, still going back to history, but showing that continuum of history. And then the designs on that dress also speak to me. I have a cross that represents my faith as a Christian person. And then in addition, I have purple flowers. And to make a long story short, those purple flowers are representative of the ancestors of our families. And it's from a flower that was growing close to the grave of my cousin's family, which was right across from our farm. So there's a personal story that goes with that. And so I call that my ancestor's dress. And I wear that on Sunday because Sunday is usually the day that we remember those who have passed.
Thank you for sharing that with us. I think these kinds of things transform from just being spectators or people, ooh, I went and I did this, I had this experience, to really transformational moments when we share our stories and we learn about the people who are doing these dances and learn more about ourselves as a result. I love all of these wonderful things and ways that your tribe is holding your culture close to you and saving it for the next generation. And your son is very much a part of that. Could you tell us about some of the work that he does?
Oh, absolutely. I'm so proud of my son.
I am too.
He does so many different things. I just don't know how he manages it all with his normal day job. But one of the things he does is traditional arts and crafts. And that started for him when he was in high school. And he started making Native American flutes and was doing it as an engineering project and looking at the science behind flute making, but also the history. And he soon went from making a few to then teaching classes at our community center so that other people in the tribe could learn how to do it. He's very old school traditional, and he likes to basically take a piece of wood and split it by hand and rough it by hand. So his are not done on a lathe. They are all hand cut and hand designed. And then he's also exacting as a musician. So he adjusts the size of the holes to make them pitch perfect. So they're very unique, very different flutes, and yet still very historical. So I love the way he does that. And then he started making hand drums by the old school way, but also he does 3D printed hand drums because being an engineer, he has those skills, and he does battle. So he's been doing a lot of these things and then demonstrating them in the community at various different events that we do to talk about our tribe's history and culture. The bigger thing is the language work that he's been doing. And he started out being interested in it and trying to make traction on his own. But, that's a big thing to do if you don't come with a linguist background or being mm-hmm. able to speak it as a child. And no one else in our tribe was speaking the language anymore. A cousin of ours was the last one to speak it, and that was like two generations back.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it's been a while.
Mm-hmm.
So during the pandemic, one of the professors from the University of Virginia, Dr. Mark Sicoli, reached out and said that he'd been talking with Vice Chair Beth Roach and that he knew we had an interest and would we be interested in collaborating with the university on helping us with the reconstruction. Of course, we screamed yes, and we co-taught a class on Southeast Indigenous languages by first working with some students and talking about our history and what we already knew and what had been documented historically, but then bringing in linguistic experts from the broader community to figure out how we best do this, and they're sharing their experiences. And then once we did that, then starting to dig into the word list that we already had and how do we understand the grammar and the structure so that we could bring it back. And so that little introduction that I gave you is just a snippet of what we're able to do now with the words that we had and with the learnings that we had from other related languages like Tuscarora and Mohawk and Seneca and Cayuga and such.
So exciting. Oh, my goodness. And what do our languages mean to us as tribal people?
Our languages are, as my son says, our fire. Mm-hmm. It's our connection to our family. It's our connection to our history. It's our connection to our worldview. And there's so much in how we say something, especially because many of our native languages are action-focused and relationship-focused. And I feel like that is how we see the world. It's around what you do being more important than what you say. And especially because we are looking at the actions really showing the intent of the heart. Because people can say a lot of stuff that's not really true.
Mm-hmm.
But when you follow it with action and when you actually do, that's when you see truth. So I see that as being a piece of that worldview. And then also we are very connected to each other. We are connected to the land, the water, the creator. And so our language is about that connection and how do we relate.
Beautiful. I wonder if you would share with us about your current position on Tribal Council. I think it's so wonderful to see our women in leadership roles. And of course, the whole world is really energized by this political cycle and the role of women in it. So I would love to know about the wonderful work you're doing for your tribe.
Well, thank you for asking that. It is a humbling work. Mm-hmm. I often talk about myself as being a reluctant leader because I didn't feel like I was seeking out being in this role, but I felt like the tribe needed me to be in this role. And so my chief approached me and said, "We need you to step up and we need you to lead." And my chief is a wonderful leader herself, a huge role model, and has done so many things for the tribe that I feel like I've been trying to follow in her footsteps. So our tribal leadership is built up of a council of nine. We are all elected with rotations every 3 years of elections. And I was elected this role, I guess, has it been 3 years now? I think next year I might be up again. It's either next year or year after that. But I was elected council during this pandemic period, which was an interesting time to take on the responsibility. And the council chair then can establish the committees. And so we have a number of committees that do the critical important work of the tribe, like the language work, like the environmental work. And we have people who are chairing all of these different committees aligned with their areas of passion and also the things that we need to do for the tribe to be building each other up and supporting each other. So it's a challenging amount of responsibility, and yet it is a responsibility that's a passion for me because it is bringing us all back together as a community. So one of the things that we do a lot of, for instance, is bringing awareness to the community about who we are. Our tribe was, again, pushed in over to the side, not recognized, and in 2010 we got state recognition through huge efforts of the tribal leaders at that time. And so continuing to stay engaged and bring everyone to the table, as well as continuing to fight to try to get that federal recognition, is important for us. And part of that is showing who we are in the community. That means having to go around and make speeches and have tables and exhibits and write our history. And, you know, this past year, for instance, my husband and I took on writing the tribal journal, which was done previously by our chief and the war chief. So taking that on and putting that together and reaching out to the tribal community and saying, what did you do this year that connects to our tribe? Can you help tell that story? Because we need it documented so that we can show this to people. Because we are in a colonizer mindset community where they want to see the pieces of paper. So we spend a lot of time generating these pieces of paper so that we have that support that we need to tell our story in different circumstances. Or also, how do we work in the community? I've started a Indigenous Peoples Association at my workplace now.
Oh.
And Haley, yes, Haleon has a Indigenous Peoples Association, and my co-lead, Alan Kaufman, and I have been doing this program now for about 2 years. And again, it's a passion project trying to not only educate people here at work about Indigenous communities, but then also make this a wonderful place to work for Indigenous people. And I started attending the ACES meetings and trying to get the word out that Haleon has this, and that this is a great place for Indigenous scientists to come and work and help us to create amazing grants.
Wow!
I want you to know that the Nodaway people are still here. The Nodaway people are vibrant, that we are engaged, that we are passionate about our culture, our history, our family, and we're passionate about how we fit into the world community. And we want people to know that they are welcome to join us. And we ask people to engage and support us in any way that you can. And I remind you that we have a Facebook page, Nodaway Indians. Look for the one that says official, because that's ours. Mm-hmm. And also we have a website, www.nodawayindians.org. So please engage, support us, come visit us, and look forward to how we can continue to tell these stories more in the future.
Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. And tell us again, how can we join your powwow and be part of this wonderful event?
Come on down September the 21st and 22nd to the Surrey Parks and Recreation Center on Highway 10 at 205 Enos Farm Drive, Surrey, Virginia.
I'm always, always grateful to you and grateful for you. And all of you who listen, we're grateful for you too. Thank you for joining us to learn about this amazing, amazing woman, an amazing tribe, and a spectacular event.
Presenting Great Moments in the History of 1-800-FED-INFO. For years, Americans have turned to 1-800-FED-INFO for government information. Make your own great moment. Call 1-800-FED-INFO. It's government made easy.
Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit peacecorps.gov.
My brother used to tease me about this podcast, and he used to say it should be called Dawn Karima and Her Friends, because I get to talk to the most wonderful people, people I love, my favorite people. Well, you know, it's called Conversation with Dawn Karima, but I still get to talk to one of my favorite friends today about one of the things I truly love right now. And so Miss Angie is here from Bold and Bright Academy, and we welcome you. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
And thank you for your friendship. I love being your friend.
Me too.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, we're both very excited about something that you are involved in, and you have done a lot of work and a labor of love to bring it to all of us, and that's new classes at Bold and Bright Academy. Please tell us about that.
Yeah, it's very exciting. I started teaching online almost 2 years ago, maybe a year and a half. And I've just gotten more and more ideas about, like, I want to teach this, I want to teach that. And so it's very fun and exciting how all of these classes, like, came together. That will start this fall in September. So, yeah, ask me more questions and I'll answer more.
Well, I'm so excited about all of this. And I guess the first thing I would want to ask you is, tell us about these classes. Like, what are these classes? Because sometimes when we think of online education, we think of programs where children play games, or maybe where it's just them and the tablet all day or screen all day. But this is a wonderful opportunity to be taught by live credentialed teachers in a Zoom online live interactive environment. Mm-hmm. So please tell us about these classes. What are they?
So that makes me think about, like, how they came about. Like, so I homeschool my kids. They're 2, 4, and 6. We don't go out much, and our friends are online. And so when we spend time online on Zoom, that's our interacting with people time. And so when I design these classes, I really like it to be very interactive. We see each other's faces. We're not, you know, constantly looking at, you know, a different thing on the screen. Like we're together. Like, we're seeing each other right there, and it's like we're in the same room together, kind of thing, you know, like that's kind of part of my motivation and inspiration of making these classes. Like, one of my classes is called Play Pals. In my mind, it's just a time when we can get together with friends and, like, we learn about what it means to be a friend. You have me, a teacher, who's there to, like, help guide our interactions, and then just share with each other and play games and maybe do art together. And
they look forward to seeing each other. They talk to each other. They ask if someone's not there. They ask by name, you know, and they're glad to see each other. And it's just a wonderful environment. And so Play Pals, for example, will be meeting on Mondays and Wednesdays, right?
Yes. Yeah. 2 p.m. Pacific.
Okay.
So that would be 5 Eastern. Yeah, it's about a half hour class. And my teaching style is, I'm not a huge talker. I'm a listener. So I'm out of my comfort zone right now.
Oh, bless your heart. Play Pals actually feels to me, we have a word in the Chota language, and it basically means together, but not just together, like we're all in this room together, you know, but together meaning united in heart and mind and activity. And that's how Play Pals feels to me, that they really are all together. to socialize, to have fun, to see one another, to enjoy each other's company. And it's just a beautiful learning space. So now what ages of children can participate in Play Pals?
Anywhere from 3 to 10. I really like when kids of different ages can be together. I've taught
yes.
some classes in the past semester where I teach a class where the ages range from 2 to 9, and it like surprisingly works. Like I love including the older kids to help out and give space for the younger kids. And then the younger kids get to also like see and hear how the older kids are you know, their ideas and their thoughts and feelings. And so it's like, yeah, it's really cool to see a class together with different ages like that.
And I think that's one of the graces of homeschooling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people talk about socialization, but at school, you're just in one room with the same age of people as you, you know, and yet homeschooling allows us to meet people of different ages and different stages of life in different places. And it just allows us to have such a wide breadth of communication and all kinds of sharing and socializing. And, you know, Play Pals is especially dear to my heart because when my beloved child found out that he was going to graduate from Bold and Bright Academy, and that he'd be going to kindergarten, I thought he'd be like, yay, how wonderful. But instead he was like, no, thank you. I'm like, what do you mean? No, thank you. He's like, oh, I'm not going. And I'm like, well, you have to go to kindergarten. I mean, I just have to go there, honey. This is wonderful. And he was like, no, I'm not going forward without my friends. And I said, okay, well, that's fine. We will homeschool kindergarten. And if you want to go to Bold and Bright Academy just over and over again for as long, you can go to your 12 as far as I'm concerned. And he was like, oh, that's fine then. I'll do kindergarten then. And then lo and behold, answered prayer. You and Miss Bethany announced that there would be these wonderful classes that literally will go all the way up to 10. And so, and he's done so well in kindergarten, he's blazing through. And so it looks like he's going to first grade in the fall.
Oh, wow.
And yeah. And so, but he's fine with that because he'll still be able to see all his friends as much as he wants to, because Play Pals and several of your other courses will allow them to go up to the age of 10. And I'm praying even beyond.
That'd be very cool.
So that is so wonderful. That is just something near and dear to our family, because Bold and Bright has made a beyond beautiful difference in our lives.
That's so wonderful to hear.
That wonderful? It really is. And so thanks a lot. Otherwise, I don't know if my child would have ever gone to kindergarten or not. He would have told me he was going if he couldn't go and see his friends all the time. And now he can, and he is, and he loves it. You have other classes here that I want to make sure we talk about, because this one is especially just right on time in our lives. Primary pals.
Dr. Dawn, my 2-year-old just entered the room and is distracting me.
Hello, darling. Oh, we love people entering the room and distracting us. I mean, we have a yellow lab and a kindergartner. And so we just, we never really assumed that anyone would ever have our undivided attention. Hello, sweetheart.
Are you able to
and see that?
Oh, good. I'm glad. Are you able to close the door, babe? Thank you. It's getting quiet time stuff.
That's the beautiful thing right there. You just saw it and you just heard it, our friends who are listening. That the welcoming love for young learners is there at Bold and Bright Academy. They're not an interruption. They're not a nuisance. They're not a disturbance. They are welcome. They are so important to us. And so let's talk about Primary Pals, because that is just right on time at our house, like just in the nick of time. Look what it is. It's Primary Pals. So could we talk about that class, please? Because I am seeing so many homeschooling families on social media who are overwhelmed. Like they figured out preschool. They did all right there, and kind of they made it through kindergarten. But now that we're getting to the grades where maybe they have state assessments and things like that, oh boy, Here comes. But just in the nick of time, primary pals.
Because I feel that too. I'm a teacher, and I was still overwhelmed thinking about, oh, my daughter's going into grade one. That feels like legit school. So we can start the class talking about what have we read, what have we written or listened to, and then kids can share and like we were talking about last time, where they can inspire each other and, oh, I want to read that too, or oh, you're starting to write, like I want to try that, and then we can read books together, and kids are going to be at different, like I already know some of my kids and the that are going to join in the fall, some who are reading like chapter books like every day, and some who haven't started how to learn how to read yet, and I love to be able to meet the kid where they're at and not expect them to all be at the same level, right? And then I figured out that I can have numeracy every other week on Thursdays, and we'll just really focus on the foundation of numbers and playing around with them and having manipulatives and like, okay, what's one more than seven? What's two more than seven? And just really like getting comfortable and fun with numbers, and like those who are ready to write things down, they can start writing, and those who aren't, that's fine. And we'll just touch on all the outcomes that way. And then we'll do social studies once a month on a Thursday and science once a month. Science will be really hands-on. Like we have a colors unit where we'll get to like paint and mix different colors and explore that way, and we have like an engineering kind of building unit where we get scraps with whatever kind of recycling stuff we have, and we can start making things, and that's going to be really really fun. And then social studies once a month is like about like self-identity and like who they are, and they are special and they are unique. And we have different backgrounds, so we can share that with each other, and that's gonna be really fun too. We could probably find some books we can read together and share different traditions we have with our friends. Man, yeah, I'm just really excited.
I'm excited too. I really am. I mean, I think, well, this is an answer to my prayers. I know that. And I think there's many families that this is exactly what they've been hoping for. So what's the difference between the 2 and 3 p.m. versions of Primary Pals? Like if one, do you come just for 30 minutes or do you come for the full hour or how does that work? The
Yeah,
times are,
so it those times are dependent on signups. So right now, we have 2 p.m. Pacific is filling up, and like that's it's the same class. So I really don't want the group to get too big, and then there's not as much time for each student to share. So I put and 3 o'clock Pacific because I wanted to have the option of like if we have I don't know, it really depends on the students, kind of like feel it out to see when we're going to need to introduce another time so that there's enough time for each kid to share as much as they want. Yeah, does that make sense? Did I?
Absolutely. That absolutely does. And the ages are 5 to 7, which is such a wonderful, wonderful time to spark a love of learning that could last like their whole life.
Yeah, like
And I think that is wonderful.
I know that some like kindergartners would be ready for this class. Like they're already, reading, and they're ready to share ideas and listen to their friends share ideas, but I also know that I have signups who are they're older. They've completed grade one already, but this is just another way to like to really build that strong foundation in what they're learning, and on top of that, like just like sharing with friends and learning how to communicate better and listen and be, a part of a group, and also learn about their own uniqueness too. So I just wanted to keep it open to like, it doesn't have to be specifically you have to be six and just starting grade one,
That's beautiful.
and I know that the parents will know their kid and be able to decide if that is would work for them or not, you know?
I just see the Primary Pals as a wonderful resource for our homeschooling families. I speak at a lot of homeschooling events and conferences, all virtual, but I hear this so often. I hear the need for this, the live class, the live teacher, in addition to just the workbooks and the handouts and the curriculum, and even the unschooling, like even the ones who don't use any of that, they just learn from life. Still, at times I hear them say, oh, that they wish their children had friends, you know, and they wish that they had, you know, and that all of this I feel can be met in this Primary Pals class, that there are just so many people that this is the answer. So I hope our friends who listen just consider this a wonderful way to enrich their homeschooling experience.
That's
I want.
exactly my thought. Like, if
Yes.
this is, something that you think could, help you guys, like, awesome. Like, I know that I'm very excited for us because it will keep me on track to teach my kid
Yes.
and like stay on top of these, outcomes, and then have the rest of the week to explore the ideas and be inspired by them, and just like you were saying, the unschooling. I feel like that's kind of our style. Like, I mean, I'm very new to homeschooling, my kids. So it's still a learning experience for me, but I'm excited that we'll have the time,
Yes.
to explore, like just get outside and we can explore, and it's not like, oh, well, we gotta get these done, and I don't know, like, it just like 2 hours a week, I just feel like leaves a lot of time to
Sure,
for
sure.
my family, for other families to use that time how then they works for their family,
Yes, and I think that's one of the unspoken blessings of homeschooling is that it does give us relational time. It gives us back high quality time. You know, rather than somebody gets on a school bus and it's still dark outside, and they come home on a school bus and it's dark outside. And now, kids, let's have dinner and let's have some quality family time before we go to bed. We get all the time. We get the great hours and we get the hours that aren't so great. We get the wonderful opportunities and the great explorations, and then we get ordinary time. We get all of it. You know, we get to be with each other. And I think that's the great gift of our lives. I really do. And you know, there'll be a time our children will, they'll be married, they'll have their own families, they'll be doing other things, right? And I think we will always be thankful that we had as much time with them as we have. We'll be grateful that we got all the good minutes, you know, like just all of it. We didn't miss a thing. We didn't miss anything. And that's not to be negative about people who choose a different way to educate their children. Every path is different. But for me in my house, that is the blessing of it, that we are together. And I know for us, one of the big reasons we chose to homeschool was so that we could have cultural immersion as well. We knew that assimilation and erasure are a real danger for tribal people. You know, education is a good thing, but we have a complicated relationship with it, you know, as Indigenous
Oh
people.
yeah,
And so
definitely.
we knew then that our child could be, well, our children could be themselves. Let's talk about Fred Rogers.
Yeah. We listen to Mr. Rogers' songs all the time. My 2-year-old knows how to turn it on himself. It's like, can I turn
That's
on
great.
Mr. Rogers? Yes, definitely. I love listening.
Absolutely.
Like, his
You go
music
right ahead.
is just like calm and like, I really like just being present and just having this space, quietness to, like he would just like exploring something very simple, but we can see that what we can do with it. We can experiment with, oh, it's a circle. What can we do with a circle? It's just very I like the pace, like slow. I like
Mindful, thoughtful.
mindful. That's a good word for, yeah, mindful. And so last semester, like a few months ago, I was just like really wanting to do a Mr. Rogers inspired class where we can learn his songs and then sing along to them and talk about the ideas, whether it's like kindness or exploring nature or, you know, how to feel our feelings, like when we're mad and sad and all this stuff. And yeah, so that was really fun creating these lessons. They all have a different social emotional learning theme, and I went through all his songs and like picked which songs would like work well with those, and then of course make believe neighborhood and like just having, you know, telling stories to each other. And I've learned how to do this fun like immersive background on Zoom where all the kids can go to the farm together and then we can tell a story, you know, all together and just use our imagination and just like be together, you know. Yeah. So
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. And so I'm assuming that that's what gives us neighborly pals.
yes. Neighborly pals.
That's wonderful. Non-first Fridays, 2 p.m. Pacific, ages 3 to 10. That's that magic range. And 30 minutes of learning. Oh, SEL. That is beautiful. I'm starting to think grown-ups need Mr. Rogers
Oh
these
my goodness, like
days.
it's taught me things and it's helped me, like, you know. Yeah,
Absolutely.
totally.
And so neighborly pals, and then there's adventure pals on the first Fridays.
Right,
So that's
neighbor adventure
one.
pals is once a month, 'cause that like requires a lot more planning. And like, okay, I love planning lessons, like, but like I do spend a lot of time, like I always over plan and I'm over prepared for my classes, but like Adventure Pals, I was actually inspired by I did my daughter's fourth birthday party.
It was awesome. It
It
was like the
was
gold
it
standard
just
of
kind
party.
of like it kind of yeah, just morphed into this adventure we were on. And she wanted it to be about Princess Peach, so it was an adventure with Princess Peach, and it just like turned into this story. And then we're inviting all these friends to be part of it, and then they all get to choose a buddy to do the adventure with, and then we go on games to like be able to reach the goal. I don't know, like it's just this whole thing, and it was extremely fun, and it did take a lot of preparation, which is fun, but I think sustainably I can only do it once a month, which is why it's the first Friday. And then the other Fridays, there's space for neighborly pals. But like, so adventure pals, I want to send out little forms for each family to fill out, and then I can personalize it and then make sure I'm prepared to have the options.
I love all of this, and of course, preschool pals, which started it all. I mean,
Yes.
talk about a
Yes.
miracle. I mean, just a miracle that came into our lives in the form of preschool pals. And we just didn't know how great it was going to be for us and for our family.
I know,
All of
right?
it, you know, we had no clue. And yet it's started all. And it will be available still Tuesdays and Thursdays. And that's for ages 3 to 5, 4 p.m. Pacific. And Miss Bethany teaches that. And oh my goodness, you haven't had any fun until you've done something with Miss Bethany.
Like the other day, she maybe it was a couple of weeks ago, we were on the farm together and for preschool pals with Miss Bethany, and I attend with my kids, and I'm like laughing like the whole time, just like totally enjoying this adventure on the farm. Yeah, it's really fun.
And it is. And then there's the on-demand portal as well, which is full of classes that, I mean, science and math and faith-based and story time
Yes, we love story
and
time.
story time with Dr. Dawn. And There's all kinds of classes with Miss Bethany. She has the core curriculum for preschool, and that's all on demand. So our homeschool families don't have to go look for curriculum because there's even a printable workbook and printable worksheets. If you're into that, they're there already for you.
Yeah,
Everything is in that
my kids
hub.
learned their letter sounds and their letters through her teaching times on
Yeah,
demand. Like, it was
mine
very
too.
helpful. Yeah.
And fun. I mean, I enjoyed it. I watched it and I thought it was just clever and interesting, and we loved it. You know, we still do. So this is a great program. We love this program. I loved it so much, folks, that not only did I my child loved it, and then I said, oh, and I became a teacher for it also, for story time. And so that's, you know,
Yeah,
right?
well, I started off with Bold and Bright with my oldest as preschooler with Miss Bethany, and I just loved what she was doing, and I was like, can I start substitute teaching for you? Can I start teaching classes for you?
Yeah,
Yeah.
there you go. I mean, and that I don't know how often that happens, that parents just become so in love with this program that they're like, hey, I want to be part of this. But that says a lot to me about the caliber of this program and the community that it builds as well. So, can you tell us how to enroll, how to find out more about these classes, how to
Yes.
be part of this?
Yeah. So you'll want to go to the website boldandbrightacademyonline.com, and you can click on program, and it'll like there's all the different classes we were just talking about that you can see there. And something cool about so the video on demand, if you want to like check out just the free just try for free one of the classes, you can do that. And then any of the other classes underneath, there's a blue rectangle that says schedule a meet and greet. And if you're like, hey, this might be a good fit, but you're not sure, and if you are sure, still click on the meet and greet, and you can schedule one with me or Miss Bethany, and you can ask us questions, we can talk about it, you can get the sense of who we are, like if bring your kid. And yeah, I encourage you to do that. Do a meet and greet with us before you even commit to registering. So, and if you like this and it sounds good, then you can register on this website too.
I just want to say something about the families and the children that you'll find. You know, these are some of the kindest children that you'll ever meet. They come from homes that are centered on valuing education, being kind and respectful to others. I mean, I don't think I've ever heard anybody ever say anything unkind to one another. I've only heard loving and supportive comments from the children to one another. I mean, the teachers are gracious, the children are gracious, the parents are lovely people. So if you know, sometimes new schools, new environments, oh, it can be a little intimidating. Will they like us? Will they accept us? Will we make friends? Will we fit in? Well, here's the wonderful thing. You don't even have to fit in. Come as you are, and you'll be loved.
I echo what you're saying. Everyone's welcome. Like, I care so much for the kids, for the families who join. And yeah, I want them to feel loved and welcome, accepted just for who they are.
And I think that's something absolutely that you will find. And many of us started homeschooling because we had a passion for learning and we love our children so much. And this is a community of learners and their families that feel the same way. They absolutely feel the same way. They want these wonderful things for their children, just like all of us do.
I did think of one thing that I always like to be upfront with families. If you're joining Preschool Pals every month, it's about $48, and Primary Pals again, $48. Play Pals, and then Adventure Pals every month is 18, and then Neighborly Pals. This is all USD. Neighborly Pals is $18 a month, and then there's packages to like get discounts if you get more than one. So, I just want to put that out there in case, that's
Sure,
not a
that's
good fit for
wonderful.
you, right? So I just
And the integrity of it. I appreciate that kind of integrity. There are also passes if you want to drop in or
Yes,
if you just
yes.
want to get a
If you
few
want to try it
classes at a
out,
time.
yeah, you can do $10 for just one class. You can try whatever class you want, except for Adventure Pals, 'cause that requires some extra prep. And then, yeah, you can do $30 for five classes if you want to try out like all the classes, without doing a monthly.
Well, that kind of transparency and integrity is one of the reasons I love this program so much. And
Hmm.
I thank you for it and your part in it. And I'm so thankful to Miss Bethany for creating Bold and Bright Academy and leading it with such vigor and enthusiasm as well. And we appreciate all the families who participate. And thank you, Miss Angie, for joining me.
Thank you so much, Dr. Dawn. This was wonderful. Thanks for having me.
We love all our friends who listen and all of our guests, and we are so, so thankful.
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. Talktainmentradio.com.